You stand, please. Our loving Heavenly Father, we stand in awe of Your presence this morning. Father, help us to enter in a way that we have not known before. Father, to embrace all that You are speaking to us. Our Father, to be guided by Your Spirit in such a way that every day we will follow whithersoever the Lamb goeth. Lord, there has been so many times in the past when we have gone in and we have tasted of the land, but somehow we always seem to come out. Oh Lord, that the day might come when we will go in and never more come out. When we will go in and possess the land, even as Israel of old possessed that natural land that You led them to. We believe that You are leading this people this day into that spiritual land that is just before us. Yes, the spiritual Jordan may be once again in full flood. But just as You parted the waters so long ago, You will part the waters once again for us. And we shall cross over rejoicing in Your glory, rejoicing in Your power, rejoicing in all that You are to us. For You are our God, and You lead us onward and into those areas that You have revealed unto us over these many years. Oh Father, let us embrace it. Let us internalize all that You have taught and revealed. Lord, that it might be not just head knowledge, but it might be heart understanding. Father, lead us this morning that we might do and say what You want done and said. You might lead us into all truth, for Your truth will surely set us free. And whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Lord, bless us together now, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I don't know how many of you. Now, am I about right here, or am I coming through, or how is it back there, Dan? A little quiet. Okay, well, if I'm not doing what I should be up here, I expect someone to tell me. Many of you here, or all of you here, have traveled, I guess, to various places, and travel is not new to you or uncommon to you. Do you ever take more along than what you need? Do you ever leave behind what you really wish you had? Isn't that a strange thing about that? How it always happens every time, doesn't it? Just about got more than you need, but what you need you don't have. Now, one of the things that I have really missed in this camp that I didn't bring was the Red Songbook. And I don't know why that happened. Not that I need it. I know a lot of the words, but I look at it at other times outside the camp. Sonia, are you offering that to me? Oh, thank you. You know, I just knew if I made this request, this was going to happen. So I'm very appreciative of that. I will really need your prayers this morning, because I have, I guess, sort of volunteered to do something that I don't know that I've ever done in my life before, and that's to start the meeting and also minister sometime down the road here if the Lord leads. So if there's anybody in the building that needs prayer this morning, it would be me. So you just remember that as I'm attempting to find the will of the Lord here this morning. I just want to give you a little taste of what has been on my heart. And so often in my life, and I know it's different in all of our lives, how the Lord works. But I think we all need to know how the Lord tends to operate in our life and in our ministry. Because when certain things happen, you say, I've seen that before. I know that that's the way the Lord works in my life. And so I need to pay attention to that. And one of the things He does with me is before I'm coming to a series of meetings like this, or sometimes it's before I go to Sunday morning service, He gives me a word, like one word. I kind of wish He'd give me the whole message. But it's always a phrase, or it's a word. And so, somewhere along the line, I don't know if it was when we were traveling, I think maybe it was, this word kept coming to me. And I said, this is something I need to pay attention to. And so the word is belonging. Belonging. And so I began to think about that. And I began to do a little scripture research on that. Began to think of some of my experiences about that. And so as perhaps the Lord leads this morning, I'd like to deal with that subject. But before we do, I would like to sing a couple of songs. I'm going to have a little trouble with this topic because it's meant so much to me to belong to this family of God that it kind of breaks me up. But I trust that as I speak this morning and as we sing, it will touch all of your hearts, or God will touch your heart. But I'm particularly thinking of maybe some of you who have had some questions about whether you belong. You've had some doubts about whether you belong. And I just pray and trust this morning that by the Spirit of God, He will touch your heart. He will show you by the power of His Holy Spirit that you really belong. That you belong to Him. He belongs to you. Now I just hope and pray that as you leave this service this morning, that something will flood over your whole being. And you'll feel as you go, I belong. I belong to this family of God. I belong to Jesus. And He belongs to me. And as we have that comfort and as we have that satisfaction of belonging, I believe that He can open up our lives for us in such a way that we never knew before. And I believe that this really kind of fits with what the brothers have spoken before, Brother Brian and Brother Nat and Brother Albert. But before I get into it, can we just sing a couple of those songs? Now I belong to Jesus. See, now if I'd had this book of my own, I'd had the numbers all. Maybe it's not in here. Help me. Is it not in here?
It only has one
index in front. Okay. No, I guess it isn't. Do you know it? Well, then we can just sing it. Big disappointment to my father, who was very musical, and I think he anticipated he'd have sons that would be musical, and so we both kind of let him down. But thank God for people like this.
Jesus, my Lord, will love me forever.
Now I
know, that chorus says, this isn't for time alone. This isn't just for the 70 or the 80 or whatever it is. You know, that period of time is fairly short. Regardless of how long that is, or 50 or whatever it is, that, you know, Brother Herrick Holt said, when you compare that to eternity, it's hardly worth getting out of bed for. And I suppose, you know, when you look at it in that way, it's really very, very, very short. But we belong to Him for time, yes, but it's eternity. It's what lies ahead of us, which we know very little about. But I just know that when we live with Him and we're associated with Him, that's going to be a glorious time. And it can be glorious right now, living right where we're living, praise God, and belonging to Him. Let's just sing the chorus again. This is an update on Wes Reed. Wes is about 31 years old. He is progressing nicely in the Edmonton Hospital after heart surgery to replace valves. The rhythm is still not established, with heartbeats ranging from 50 to 140 per minute. Please pray for God to touch his heart for permanent stability. Pray for Marina, his lady friend. Now, I believe that is an up-to-the-minute message almost, because you were talking to Earl, Cindy. So that's the situation with Wes at the present time. Brian, would you come and take this request?
As we bow before the Lord, let's remember Wes like he's our brother or our son. Yeah. Lord, you see every aspect about Wes. I think about the day as a little boy he was riding his bicycle and was struck by a car, and his spleen was damaged and they had to remove it. And yet, Lord, you caused him to be a fine athlete, to grow up to be strong. But now, dear Lord, as he is in this predicament with his health, we pray that you would touch his heart in every way, dear Lord.
Yes.
Touch him with peace, dear Lord. Touch him with the electrical stability that his heart needs. Dear Lord, we pray that you would comfort him and comfort Marina, who loves him. Yeah. Pray, dear Lord, that you would cause them all to trust in the Lord like they never have before. Lord, we commit them. We commit the whole situation into your hands, knowing that you instructed us to pray, thy kingdom come into every situation that we face. And we pray thy kingdom come in Wes and in the Reeds. Just touch Cindy too while you're at it, dear Lord, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Just thought as Brother Brian was praying, how many people here either have some sort of a heart condition or know of someone who does? Would you just keep your hands raised as we pray this morning? Father, we've taken Wes to you and we've asked you to just touch his condition. But Father, there are many others, as we see the hands raised, who know of those who have problems of one kind or another with their heart. And Father, we pray this morning, we pray in unison and unity this morning, that your spirit will go out to these dear ones, that your healing would flow to those hearts of those various people who need that miraculous touch, whether the rhythm is out or whether there is blockage or where whatever the problem is, Father, we know that you made the heart and you know all about it and you are the great physician. We pray, Father, this morning, that healing virtue of Christ will just flow to those that have this problem in their physical body. We pray this in your precious and holy name. Amen. I'd like to save that other song that seemed to be on my heart, "Thou Shalt No Longer Be a Stranger," for a little later on in the service this morning. I'd like just to speak to you for a few minutes. I will refer to some scriptures eventually. To belong is something whereby we become an intricate part of whatever it is we belong to. All of us belong to a natural family. We belong to organizations, professions of one kind or another. We may have belonged to a trade union or a union of some kind, clubs. We belong to something. There's something special about belonging. There's something satisfying and comforting in knowing that you fit. I don't know if there's anything more uncomfortable than feeling that you don't fit. And God doesn't want us to feel that way. I believe that's a ploy of the enemy to cause you to feel that you don't belong or that you don't fit. There's something comforting and satisfying Sister Wendy spoke of it to an extent when she testified that you're understood, that you're accepted, that you have value, because God sees value in you. Whether you see value in yourself or not, that might be another thing. But God, we got to remember that God sees value in every one of us. That doesn't make us anything, but it makes Him everything. You belong. Because Jesus said, you belong. There are certain benefits that are derived from being a part of something or having membership in something that you treasure and that contributes to the welfare of a society. Let's just take a natural family as an example. You either are right now in a natural family of your parental family or a family of your own. You're either in one or you were in one. There are certain privileges that are available to you in that family. And they're not available to anyone else. When last did you go into somebody's home and open the fridge door and see what was there? Well, you do it in your family, don't you? Anytime you want. I doubt that there's a lock on any fridge doors in any of your homes. Maybe sometimes mother would like to have put a lock on the door. You sit down to three meals a day. Your clothes are washed for you. You crawl into a warm bed at night. Open the window if it's a little too warm, or put on the air conditioning. You were able to participate in activities that someone paid the membership for or paid for that activity for you to participate in. I often think, I'm kind of a nostalgic guy. I think quite often of my parental home and how privileged I was to have the parents that I had, to have grown up where I grew up. I'm so happy I didn't grow up in Toronto. Hope there's nobody from Toronto here. I was in Toronto just a few days ago, and I thought to myself, oh my goodness, I would sooner be dead than live here. Amen. But I thought about the thing. I guess I didn't think about them when I was there, but I thought about them after, the things that were done for me. Why? Because I belonged. Because I was a member of that family. Those of you who have heard me speak before know that I'm a bit of a sports fan, and I did quite a few sports in my youth. I remember, I'll give you one snippet of an example. In the days when at least our family didn't have block heaters on their vehicles, it wasn't much of a vehicle to begin with, and no block heater, and the rink where I played hockey was 13 miles away. And sometimes it was 30 to 40 below. My father would put fire under the oil pan of the truck, coals, so that he could start that truck so that he could take me to hockey practice or to a hockey game. I belonged. He may have been a little disappointed in me, as I said, at times. Those are the things you don't forget. Family is special. The list of the privileges or the what you enjoy could go on, and I won't continue to dwell there. I think you get the drift. Membership in a family is something special. There's nothing quite like belonging. There are privileges, there are benefits, and yes, there are responsibilities. You know, we live in a society that loves the benefits, but they don't care too much for responsibility. God is raising a people up who will have many, many benefits, and who do have many, many benefits. But associated with benefits, there are responsibilities. And we'll get there eventually in what I'd like to say to you. Let me talk to you about another kind of belonging. You belong to various assemblies. The vast majority of you here belong to some assembly somewhere, likely not very far from here. You are a member in particular. You're not just there. There was a fellow who wrote a book called The Comfortable Pew. I think his name was Pierre Burton, if I remember correctly. I remember thinking, when I was introduced to the move of the Spirit some 50 years ago, this church was no comfortable pew. I had the most uncomfortable feelings at times. Why? Because something was expected of me. That's why. We should not be coming just to be comfortable, just to have a sermon preached, just to have a teaching, just to sing some songs. What does God require of me? We could take President we've got no mind anymore. That's the trouble with me. Kennedy. Ask not what the church can do for you, but what you can do for the church. Ask not what God can do for you, but what you can do for Him. How you can carry out what the will of God in your life. You are a member in particular, a member with a ministry imparted by God. That is no small thing. That is not something we should just take for granted. But that is so special that I don't think we really got a hold of it and understand it in its completeness and its fullness. That God, by His Spirit and by the laying on of the hands of the presbytery, imparted to you a ministry, a gift, one of the 9 gifts of the Spirit or more, and said, go forth and operate them. That is in your local assembly for sure. It is beyond that, far beyond that. It is wherever you find yourself. This morning, I'd like to touch on something just kind of in passing. But I think it's so important. When we go to our assemblies, when we attend the church, wherever that is, come prepared. Do you know that you carry the anointing with you? You don't necessarily go there for the anointing. You have the anointing. The anointing is in you because Christ in you is the hope of glory. You are the temple of the living God, that temple made without hands. And you can pass the buck, as I have many times. You can say somebody else will. But how often do we say, Lord, if you call me, I will. If you put your hand on me, I will. I am ready. I believe that God wants us to come into our services with that kind of attitude. I am here to present, to read a scripture. I'm here to give a word of exhortation. I'm here to sing in the Spirit. I am here to prophesy. I am here, Lord, I am here. Now, I'm telling you something that I have missed the boat on many times. So I'm not kicking you around, okay? Or I can kick myself around. But I'm just saying to you that this is the kind of church it is. It took me a while to get my head around that. But when I saw it, I thought, oh, how wonderful. This must be God that would set things up in this kind of way. That everyone has a part to play. Everyone is a member in particular. Everyone has a ministry imparted by God. How glorious is that? How wonderful is that? How like God is that? Well, I got one amen. Thank you, Nat. So in these organizations that we belong to, we have a responsibility to live up to expectations, I guess, to some extent. That belonging carries with it. These in the this belonging in the natural is is not some sort of loose association. This is bonding. It's a bonding relationship that speaks not only of the natural, but has spiritual application. You know what a parable is? A parable is a story with real life application. Jesus used lots of them. It's a teaching mechanism. It's a teaching tool. It drives home the point. I was watching a teacher teach one day. That's back in the dark ages. Long time ago now. Doing a lesson on fractions with about a grade 4 class. As I watched and observed, I waited and I waited until I saw real life application. There are literally hundreds of possibilities. What a grade 4 or 5 student might like is bring in an apple pie or something. Cut it up. Give them each a piece or a bit. Show them what a fraction is. Show them the real life application, not something that is pie in the sky. I didn't expect that to work out so well there. Pie on the plate, pie in the sky. You see what I'm talking about? Jesus didn't do that. It wasn't something that was afar off and nebulous. It was right down to earth. Real life we're talking about here. And that's what you and I are living today. We are living the real life experience. So, you remember the parables that Jesus used when he was teaching. They, of course, always had spiritual application. The parable of the prodigal son has significance here. Let us read from Luke 15. Beginning at verse 12. A certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, "Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me." And he divided unto them his living. Now, you know, I would like a little more detail filled in there, because if my sons had come to me and said that, there would have been a discussion. There would have been a fairly long discussion. But anyway, I won't try to fill in the gaps. He divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together. In other words, he got himself together because he was leaving. And took his money and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. He got his inheritance. He took his inheritance. He did with it as he pleased. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country. Oh, just a minute. Riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. This is youth. Not thinking quite about what might happen. Not thinking about what the possibilities are down the road here. which I would think that his father had talked to him about before he ever agreed to do this. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country because he had begun to want. He had spent all that he had. And he sent him into his fields to feed swine. Now, this is quite a drop down from what he had been experiencing, I think. Now he's in feeding swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. I expect that this fellow had lots of friends when he had money. But when he had no more money, he had no more friends. And when he came to himself, notice that. When it dawned on him, when the light went on, so to speak, he said, "How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? Oh, I have a father back there. Someone I haven't thought about for a long, long time. I have a brother back there. He has servants. They live much better than I'm living." One time, do you mind personal examples? I sometimes feel that some people might think I'm trying to elevate myself or something by using a personal example. I hope not, because I don't want to do that. But it kind of fits, you see. And I know more about me and my family than anybody else does, I think. I hope. Bryce was in first or second year of university. I think it was first year, because he had to take an English class. He was in engineering, and, you know, they have to take kind of a one English class. Of course, it wasn't one of his favorite classes. Did his first essay and got back a very low mark and a very unkind comment. He's looking at that, and he said, he thinks, "I have a father. He teaches English in the high school. I'll go back to my father and I'll get some instruction." And so he did. It's not quite the same as the prodigal, but it was remembering what was available. And so I showed him a few things. See, he'd never gone through my English class. See, that's the problem. So I taught him a few things about writing an essay, and it's got to be a very short course, you see. So he took them to heart. He told me the essay that he needed to write, the next one that he needed to write, and he gave him a few pointers. I didn't write his essay, but he gave him a few pointers. He wrote it, handed it in, B+. Father. Instruction. This is how to do it. How often do we use people around us? "Oh, I'll handle it myself." When right next door, right in the church, right in the family, there's someone who has expertise. There's an elder. There's a deacon. There's one of the traveling brethren. There's your wife. Oh, we know it all, don't we? Yeah. I'm the chief around here. Oh, I think we miss it. I think we miss it sometimes. Anyway, I'm getting off the topic a bit. This fellow said, "I've got a father. He's got abundance." You know something? That's where he belonged. That's where the prodigal belonged. He belonged in that family. And his father had never forgotten that. Regardless of where we were or where we are today, God has never forgotten that you belong to Him. You don't belong to this world. You don't belong to the activities and to the systems of this world. You belong to Him. Just as that prodigal belonged to his father and to that family. And he said, I will go back. Look at, while we're here, just look at Luke 15:4-7. What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave them 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. Hallelujah. Someone was talking about shepherds. I think it was Brother Albert last night, talking about shepherds. There's a shepherd. There's one. There's one out here that's lost. There's one out here that has lost his way. I will go out and I will find that one and bring him in or her, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth. Over one sinner that repenteth, there is rejoicing in heaven. Isn't that something? The whole heaven rejoices when the day you bowed your knee before Him and you said, come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Forgive me of my sin and set me free from this sinful life. There was rejoicing in heaven. The very heavens rejoiced because one sinner, you, had found the Savior. Over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. The 99 are safely in the fold. We're talking about the one that needs to be found. Praise the Lord. So this, I kind of did that a little backwards. I put that one in when I hadn't finished the other one. But that's okay. You know, I'm a little bit like that. I get ahead of myself and behind myself. And anyway, let's just come back to this for a moment. When he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare? And I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. He has a repentant heart. Praise the Lord. And am so more, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one as thy hired of thy hired servants. I don't want to be a son anymore, because I don't think you want me as a son anymore because of what I've done. So can I just be a servant? I don't belong because of what I've done. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion. Oh, hallelujah. The same as our Heavenly Father has for everyone that comes to Him. And had compassion and ran and fell on His neck and kissed Him. I'll venture to say that that father had gone out there many, many times and looked down that road to see whether there was a son that was returning home. How many times have you looked down the same road, only you've been on your knees for a prodigal, for someone that you long to see them come. You long within your heart to see them come. Never give up. Never say it is a futile thing. The day came when this prodigal returned back to his father and home. And the son said to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this is my son who was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. Now, we won't get into the other son here at the moment. But you see, the father never doubted whether his son belonged. In his mind, in his heart, he always belonged, regardless of where he was, whether he was feeding swine or whatever, or living riotously, that didn't matter. He belonged to him and that family. You belong to God. You belong to the Father. Israel belonged to God. His chosen people, the scripture says in Exodus 19 and 5, a peculiar people, a peculiar treasure. Also in Psalm 135, 4, it says the same thing. Israel belonged exclusively to God. Israel did not belong to idol worship, to the Baals of the Old Testament. Israel did not belong to fear and unbelief, nor to the heathen nations round and about them, or to their religious ways, or their political systems. Israel was a peculiar treasure unto God. What did that mean? Here's an example. Israel was in bondage in Egypt. They had been there for some 400 years. And I want to refer you to a scripture this morning in Exodus, the second chapter and the 23rd verse. Like that father of the prodigal, God had not forgotten Israel. Let's read about it. Chapter 2, verse 23. And it came to pass in process of time. Let's just pause there. Sometimes it takes some time. There was a passage of time here. And it came to pass in passage of time that the king of Egypt died. And the children of Israel sighed by reason of the bondage. And they cried. And their cry came up unto God by reason of the bondage. The bondage is so great. They were in slavery. They were under the taskmaster's whip. They eventually had to make the same amount of bricks without the straw. Yeah, you know the story. It got so bad that they began to cry unto God because of the circumstances and the condition under which they were. The 24th verse. And God heard their groaning. And God remembered His covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. And God looked upon the children of Israel, and God had respect unto them. Or God acknowledged them. He heard their cry. He heard their groaning. And He looked with compassion upon them. God had not forgotten Israel. God has not forgotten natural Israel today. And I'll tell you something. God has not forgotten us. Whatever condition you find yourself in today, and you know it far better than anyone else knows it, He has not forgotten you. And He knows where you belong, and you belong to Him. God had an ear for Israel, and He heard their cry. Who do we belong to? Let's look at a scripture. 1 Peter 2:9. Very familiar scripture. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Oh, hallelujah. There is no question that all of us once walked in darkness. But one day the light shone, and it was marvelous. And you saw what you had never seen before. Maybe you grew up in the move of the Spirit, in a family that was already in it. And maybe that was just sort of like osmosis to you. You just kind of came into it. It wasn't like that with me. And it wasn't like that with many of us who came into it, and the light had to come on at some point that we could see what we had not seen before. Now, I think, if I remember correctly, I brought this Phillips Bible up here for a reason. Now, if I could just think of what it was. I think what I wanted to do was read this from what I've just read from the Phillips. It expresses it so well. 2:9. But you are God's chosen generation, His royal priesthood, His holy nation, His peculiar people, all the old titles of God's people now belong to you. Did you hear that? All the old titles of God's people now belong to you. It is for you now to demonstrate the goodness of Him who has called you out of darkness into His amazing light. In the past, you were not a people at all. Now you are the people of God. In the past, you had no experience of His mercy, but now it is intimately yours. Oh, hallelujah. Now, I told these brethren before this meeting started that I might run out of gas. And I might. But I know that one thing about this is when you run out, somebody's always there. I do want to do a couple of other things related to this. You remember that I said a few minutes ago that in addition to benefits of belonging, there are also responsibilities. And I said I was going to get there. And I just remembered that I'd said that. I want to just take a look at some benefits here this morning. If you'll turn to the Psalms, we're going to look at Psalm 103. I'll start at the first verse of Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. These are what belong to us. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities. That's the first one. There's a real benefit, isn't it? He forgives all of our iniquities. My wife and I were having a little conversation about this just recently. And we were asking ourselves, are we carrying around anything that we don't need to carry around? And we kind of came to the conclusion that maybe we were. But I have a past life. And sometimes it's a little bit hard for me to totally forget about it. To just leave it where it needs to be left. He's forgiven me all of my iniquities. Regardless how bad they were or how I view them. He said, I forgive you. They are in my sea of forgetfulness. I remember them no more. There's a benefit that we need to enter into and to really believe that God, it is as God says. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases. Oh man. I would to God that we could really get a hold of that. I am the Lord that healeth thee. Just the same as He's saying, I am the Lord that forgiveth thee. Isn't it just as easy for God to forgive as to heal or forgive? It's just as easy. Another benefit that we have available to us is the healing of our bodies, the healing of our spiritual problems, the healing of our relationships, in all the kinds of ways in which He heals. They're available to us. I wonder sometimes, in my own life, if pride doesn't get in the way of somehow, I can't quite get a hold of it because of something standing between. You know, God wants a humble heart. A heart of simple belief. Setting aside all of those things that trouble, that the cares, the worries, the fears. Setting aside those things and just saying, Lord, I believe You. I believe I have this benefit. I believe it belongs to me because I'm a child of Yours and I belong to You. Who redeemeth thy life from destruction. He redeems us from destruction. I would venture to say that He has protected you when you didn't even know it. Or He's given you a glimpse of how close you were to disaster, and He somehow got you through it and saved you from it. That's God. The oncoming vehicle or something happened and you're aware of it. I remember this is so vivid in my mind. Trevor was a little boy. We were in Prince Albert, which is a city that was close to where we lived. And mother must have been away some other place in the city. Shopping, maybe. You know, I shouldn't say those things, but I can't resist. I'm a little like Doug Witter that way. He always was saying things he shouldn't have said. But anyway, Irene knows me. You have to understand that Irene knows me, and we get along quite well, and she doesn't beat me up about saying things that are like that. Anyway, what was I going to say now? Trevor and I were walking together, and you know, he's a little boy, he's 5 years old, or I don't exactly remember. And I'm just kind of keeping an eye on him. He's walking along the sidewalk with me, but I didn't have his hand in mine. But we're coming to a crosswalk. Because we were going to cross the street. And as we approached the crosswalk, I reached out and I took his hand. And there was a truck that was coming to the stop sign. There was a stop sign before he could go on to the Central Avenue. And I remember he came to the stop sign and he stopped. And we took one step out into the street. And for some reason, I paused, and that truck just shot across that intersection like a bullet. For all intents and purposes, we should have been right in the middle of the street by that time, but we weren't. It kind of makes you cold when you think about what might have been. But I believe it was the hand of God that caused me to just pause. Just pause before we stepped out. Because it would have been just disaster. He hath redeemed thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. He is such a merciful God. So tender, so loving, and so kind. It's a benefit. Who satisfieth thy mouth with good things. You know, that in about 40 minutes, He'll satisfy our mouth with physical good things. We've been satisfied all week with physical good things. And we enjoy that. And God wants us to enjoy it. But you know, He satisfies our mouth with spiritual good things too. And those spiritual good things are things that we have heard here at this camp. We've heard prophecy flow. We've heard singing in the Spirit flow. That is coming. That is, someone's mouth has been filled with good things. We've heard from the Word today. We've heard things in our informal relationships on the campsite. You know, in groups where we've sat around and we've socialized and talked, and you kind of feel good when you part, that you've been together for a while. It's a good thing. He does that for us. So that thy youth is renewed like the eagle. Oh, would I love to have my youth renewed and have the wisdom of age. That's a pretty big, tall order, I guess. But would that ever be wonderful? Like, to be youthful and wise. What if someone said that with age comes wisdom, but sometimes it comes all alone? And I wonder about me sometimes. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. You can look in your scripture, in your Bible, and you can find many, many examples of the benefits that God has for those that love Him. Let's look at some requirements. Would you turn to Deuteronomy? Ten. Deuteronomy 10. You know, you've been sitting quite a while. You better stand up and do a stretch or get the kinks out. Or wake up. I won't be much longer. You may be seated. Chapter 10, verse 12 of Deuteronomy. And now, Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee? But to fear the Lord thy God, in other words, to reverence the Lord thy God. You know, I so appreciated when I walked up here a little bit before 10 o'clock and there was just a hush over the congregation. A reverential hush. What does the Lord require of thee? To fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all His ways, and to love Him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul to keep the commandments of the Lord and His statutes, which I command thee this day for thy good. For what purpose? For our own good. Amen? There are some of the requirements. To love Him with all of our heart, with all of our soul. To reverence Him, to walk in His ways. Oh, praise the Lord. That's just what He wants from us. Look over in Micah. Daniel, Hosea. One of these days I'm going to learn the books of the Bible. Joel. It's in here close. Amos. Micah. Here we are. Was it your brother, Byron? He sang the books of the Bible, didn't he? Was it your brother? Gilbert, yeah. He could sing them. That was amazing. There likely is. It sure isn't me. Micah, 6th chapter. 8th verse. He hath showed thee, O man, what is good. And what doth the Lord require of thee? Here we have it again. What does God require of you? But to do justly. And to love mercy. And to walk humbly with thy God. Well, there are three pretty important things there. What does He require of us? To be just. To be fair. You know something? There's a lot of injustice in the world. An awful lot of injustice. He's going to have a people that's going to do justly. That's going to judge justly. And that injustice should not be part of us. To love, to be merciful, to be kind, to be compassionate. And to walk humbly with thy God. Now, thou shalt no longer be a stranger, wandering to and fro. I'll find the I think I will. 199. Thank you. Well, no. Thou shalt no longer be a stranger, wandering to and fro. Thou shalt no longer be a stranger, knowing not where to go. Thou shalt no longer be a stranger, but a manifest Son of God, walking in His power and glory upon this earthly sod. There is no need to be a stranger. There is no need to feel that you do not belong. Because now, as we sang at the beginning, now I belong to Jesus, and Jesus belongs to me. We choose whether we want to believe that. We choose whether we want to belong, we choose to no longer be a stranger. But we come under the fold. You know something? When that ark was built so many years ago, It was an ark of safety. I believe that anybody could have gone into that ark that wanted to get into it. Isn't that right? There weren't very many that chose to. Noah's family, along with the animals. I never quite figured that out. They must have had some. Boy, it must have been quite the ark. Anyway, what's the ark today? What is it? Amen. The church that He is building by the pattern that He has laid down. Just as He laid the pattern down for Noah's ark, He has laid the pattern down for the church. And it is our ark of safety. We belong in it. It is ours. It is safety. It is security. And outside of it, the floods flow. The floods of wickedness, the floods of violence, and all that we see flows all around us. But inside the ark, hallelujah, this is where our safety lies. Do you believe it? Then shout hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Do you want to come with? Thou shalt no longer be a stranger. Morning. I don't know if there's anyone here that has kind of felt touched by this whole idea of belonging. Whether there's some question or doubt in your heart. But I really believe that the Spirit of God is here to deal with that. And I don't have to ask you to come up here unless you really want to. I know that He can deal with it right where you are. But I would really like if you would just give that to Him this morning and just let Him settle that in your heart this morning. That you do indeed belong. That it indeed is a wonderful experience to know and have that assurance in your heart that you belong to Jesus. You belong to the family of God. Because He said so. That's why. And what he said is absolute truth. I'm just going to pray. And if you're feeling along that line at all, you just release yourself to the Holy Spirit this morning to deal with it. Father, we thank you that we can come before you with all of our needs. Regardless of how big or how small they are, and you hear us, and you are interested in what troubles us. You know about our fears and anxieties. You know about those things that tend to discourage us and to draw us away and draw us down. And Father, this morning, somehow it seems that it was good to the Spirit of God to talk about belonging to this family of God, belonging to you. And Father, if there's anyone here this morning whose heart is in a bit of turmoil or confusion about that, we just pray that by the power of your Holy Spirit, you would clear that whole area up. Father, that you would give those an assurance in their heart that they do belong, that they are part of the family, that they belong to you in that special and intimate way, that they are that purchased possession, that they belong exclusively to you. Father, you do all things well, and we can ask largely of thee because your word says that. And Father, we ask on behalf of those that may be feeling this disconcerting something in their heart, that you will just release that. You will just touch them. That you will just give them that assurance that they are part of you. You are part of them. They belong. They are no longer strangers in a strange land, but they, hallelujah, belong to the Almighty. Lord, we thank you this morning for your presence. We thank you, Father, for your Spirit and how it moves upon us. Lord, for the degree of enlightenment and light that you've given us. Lord, may we be ever ready to speak the word that you have given to us, to do that which you have given us to do your will, dear Father, is the desire of our heart. We often sing the song, I delight to do thy will, O Lord. I delight to do thy will. Father, just be with us now and lead us in whatever way you would in the rest of the service. Or if the service should end, that is fine as well, as it's according to what you want, dear Father. Just bless us together now, we pray. And watch over us. Guide our tongues. Guide our thoughts and our deeds and our words. Father, we want to be more like you. As Jesus said, I do what the Father gives me to do, and I speak what the Father gives me to speak. We desire to be more like Jesus, to have his very nature. We pray this in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Father and home, back to my Father and home. I will rise and fall. Could we sing Near to the Heart of God on 104? The third verse. There is a place of full release.
Yes, yes.
Near to the heart of God. A place where all is joy and peace. Near to the heart of God. I believe we just all need that full release in our lives. Let's sing it as a prayer to Him this morning.
There is a place of glory here to the heart of God. A place where all is
seated.
Are there announcements? Lord, we just thank you so much for your message, your Holy Spirit today, and how it's just ministered to us. That, oh Lord, that we pray that we're just so near to your heart. Thank you for taking us in so closely to you, and how you just cover us with your love and give us understanding to know and to love others as you love us. Lord, be with us now as we fellowship in the afternoon. May it be of thee and with the sweetness of your Spirit in all that we say and do. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.